You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Despite its not-so-great recent history, Illinois football has a pretty good history of individual players coming through this program. I mean, obviously, Red Grange, Dick Butkus are some of the most famous names in football history, let alone Illini history. You got a couple Butkus Award guys in Kevin Hardy and Dana Howard. Some great defensive players who've gone on to great NFL careers, Whitney Mercilus, Simeon Rice. I mean, go on and on about some of the guys who have come through, including some Super Bowl winners like Dave Deal and so on and so on. Great quarterbacks like Tony Eason, Dave Wilson, Jeff George Jr., a number one pick, Kirk Kittner had a heck of a career, and the guy he threw to, several guys he threw to, but most notably, Brandon Lloyd being one of those. But a couple guys of the Ron Zook era really stand out, and that includes Rashard Mendenhall, who was a first-round pick in the NFL draft, and obviously what a great year he had in the Rose Bowl year. But one guy who feels like he's a little overlooked because wasn't here that long. His last year had some injury issues and just didn't get used as much as maybe he should have been. But Aurelius Benn is one of the all-time greats at Illinois and probably one of the most talented players to ever play at Illinois. He was a five-star recruit out of Washington, D.C., and Mike Locksley, who is coming back to town this weekend as the Maryland head coach, got a huge commitment from Regis Benn. Martez Wilson was a part of that recruiting class as well. Two five-stars to commit to Illinois. Think about that nowadays, what that would be like. And those guys were huge impact players on one of the best teams in recent Illinois history, the 2017 that went on to the Rose Bowl. And Regis Benn was the Big Ten Freshman of the Year that year, lived up to all the hype. He was just different on the field. He was just different than players Illinois had for a long time. 54 receptions, more than 670 yards, several touchdowns, a kick return touchdown early in the season as well. Really an unbelievable weapon to go along with Juice Williams and Rashard Mendenhall. Three players that were a handful for Big Ten opponents. And I had the pleasure on Thursday to catch up with Regis Benn, who for the first time in 12 years is returning to Champaign to visit the Illinois campus, to return to the program he tore up the Big Ten with. And he became a second-round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went on to have a solid NFL career, had a lot of injury issues that held him back. But he is excited to return, and I was happy to catch up with him to talk about returning to campus, to catch up not only with Mike Locksley and Ron Zook as they are here with Maryland, but his thoughts on Brett Bielema, who he played against and beat his first year here as a freshman at the University of Illinois. We talk about his career, including one detail that might anger Illini fans because it was possible you could have had more of Regis Benn, and David Williams might be lucky that Regis Benn did not stay for an extra year because it was a possibility, according to Regis. He discusses that. We talk about his NFL career and talk about how difficult that is. You know, obviously going up a level, but mentally the injuries that he's gone through, and maybe how the NFL and how athletes and coaches have improved on the mental health side of things. We also talk about his post-career and new career he and his wife have founded and started and had success with. So we talk about all of that. I'm so happy to catch up with Regis Benn. And just to give you a background, I was a University of Illinois student, and yes, I can say this now because I feel like as a media member, I you guys know me. I can be critical and I'm unbiased, but I am a University of Illinois graduate. And when I was in school, I was in the Illini Pride student section. I was in the football student section. And 2007, we thought they could be a bowl team. We did not expect them to be this good. When Rashard Mendenhall, Juice Williams, all that team, you're thinking, yeah, bowl team, we're finally going to be good, because the first 2 years of my college football experience as an Illinois student were 2-10, 2-10, losing to Ohio, right? You get a win over Michigan State the year before, and you lose to a team like Ohio at home. So to have the season they did, to beat Wisconsin and Penn State in back-to-back weekends, and then to go on the road and beat number one Ohio State. I know Jay Layman always talks about the Iowa game as being so disappointing that they lost that one, because they could have been outright Big Ten champions if they would have won that game. But it was an unbelievable season and unexpectedly great. I think they'd be good, but not that great. And to end it at the Rose Bowl, USC obviously was too much for Illinois to handle at the height of Pete Carroll's powers. But it was an unbelievable season, and Regis Benn was a big part of that. I had a great time catching up with him, walking down memory lane, but also just talking to Regis about him, his career, and his post-career was a lot of fun. So I hope you enjoy the conversation with Regis Benn coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Happy to welcome on a guy who, when I was on campus at the University of Illinois, was tearing it up on the football field and brought a lot of life to the Illini football program. It's Aurelius Benn. Regis, thanks for joining us, man. How you been?
Been pretty good, man. Thanks for having me here. It's great to be back in Champaign. You know, we got a primetime game tomorrow against Maryland, against Zook and Loxter, and we're looking to come away with that win, man.
Yeah. So first time back on campus, right, Regis, for the first time in a long time. Like, why now? And you know, I guess the last 13 years, it just didn't happen to where you could get back. Like, why did you want to come back now?
Dealing with the hectic life of being a professional athlete, you know, having a family, getting married with kids and stuff, you know, those type of things pull you away from some of the familiar things that I was doing when I was a single man out here just playing professional football. A lot of different things has accumulated in my life outside of football. But, you know, honestly, I've always wanted to get it back up here, but I never really felt like I had the connection to really get back up here. There was so many coaching changes. We never had any, like, stability where I could build a rapport with anybody, but for some reason what's going on now, it seems like it's some familiar things, you know, dealing with the jersey changes. A lot of that stuff looks back, you know, older and back retro, back to when I was playing and some of the things that I remember. So it's exciting to see what they're doing up here. Coach Bielem, you know, playing against him at Wisconsin and you know, running into him with the Patriots, having joint practices. And, you know, just it's good to see what's going on here and the elevation of the facilities and just everything overall.
I was going to ask you, I don't know if Brett Bielema has fond memories of you, Regis, with the upset in 2007. But what did you think of that hire? And I know the last 2 weeks have been rough for Illinois, but what do you think about what he can do here?
I'm anxious to see, you know, what he's able to do. I do know he's a really good coach, and I definitely stand behind him and support him. You know, he's always been a great competitor. Even when he was at Wisconsin, when we were playing against those guys, they always, you know, brought it to the table, you know, whenever they came to play us. So, you know, he seems like he has everything under control here, and he's going to, you know, build his program back up. And I think he's a guy for, you know, the situation right now, and, you know, to elevate us and, you know, keep growing our program back.
Yeah, so you're coming back here this week with Mike Locksley, who I know had a big part in you becoming such a great player. I mean, obviously you're very talented, but coming here to Illinois, and Coach Zook. I'm sure you keep in touch with them, but what's it going to be like to see them on the other sideline on Friday night?
It's going to be funny. It's going to be fun as well, too. You know what I mean? You know, just to be around those guys and seeing them on the opposite sideline and, you know, knowing what they did here and, you know, what they're trying to do in another program. But, you know, those guys were one of the big reasons that I did come here and was able to, you know, bleed orange and blue. So, you know, those guys are always, you know, special and dear in my heart. And, you know, I look forward to them putting forth a good game. But, you know, it's just not against us, not on our day.
Well, really, you did have so many great options, right, to go anywhere you wanted to. How did Coach Locks and Coach Zook convince you to come here? Because I'm sure Coach Bielema should have to do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, all of them did, man. But for some reason, I tell people the story all the time. I've always had, like, Illinois in my top three. And every visit that I would go on, people would talk bad about Illinois. Like, why do you have them on your list? Like, why are you even looking at them? You know, I had a lot of people, you know, tell me not to go here, this, that, and the other. So I was like, you know, I want to go there. You know, I want to go somewhere and turn the program around. I want to be a guy that can, you know, be a difference maker. You know what I mean? I could have, like you said, went anywhere, but it was just something about Illinois and the people up here that, you know, drove me here and made it comfortable for me to come here.
And as you look back, how did that impact you? You know, blazing your own trail. Like, how do you think that was different than going to, say, Notre Dame or Miami at the time, something like that?
It was definitely different, and I think it has prepared me for, you know, life just in general, for me to, you know, rely on myself, you know, take things into my own accountability and see what I could fester up than just falling in line to something that has already been set for years and years to come. So I just wanted to build some rich history here, just do something different. I want to go against the grain, and it has definitely, you know, helped, you know, and this is a decision that I make again over and over.
Obviously, you go to a program like Illinois, a five-star recruit. You expect to play right away. That first year, I remember, you know, I was a student. I was a junior at that time. And we were excited for that year, but we didn't know it would be quite like that.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. When did you know that that season was special?
Man, I just knew it was special. We had a lot of seniors on that team as well, you know, my freshman year. And you know, I think those guys were great leaders at the same time as well. You know, having playing with Jay Layman and, you know, some of those type of guys, Juice, and they wanted to win, man. And, you know, I wanted to win. It was a lot of guys, y'all young guys that were coming in that wanted to win and wanted to do something, you know, and wanted to just stick out. But, you know, overall, I just believe that, you know, for me to come here and just be acclimated with some of the guys and just winning some of the games. You know, nobody thought that we would win anything. Nobody thought we would be, you know, playing against USC in the Rose Bowl, you know? So that's what it's all about, man. You know, just going against the odds. I love it. You know what I mean? I'm a big rooter for the underdogs. And I think that's what we were. And people looked at us like that. And we just went out and played football.
Freshman year, for people who don't remember, Regis was freshman of the year, 54 receptions, 767 yards. You had a touchdown in the Rose Bowl. You and Rashard got one there. Is there a fond memory you look back at, whether it was in the game, whether it was training camp, really? Like, is there anything from that team that you still look on most fondly?
Man, not a day goes by where I don't think about the team and, you know, what we went through and, you know, where we started from and where we finished off at. You know, I think about it all the time. You know what I mean? There's not like just one specific memory. I relish the moments and I remember everything because it was pretty big. You know, it was a culture shock at first when I even got up here from Washington, D.C. and just to get acclimated and meeting different people, different type of things. So, you know, everything, man, the Rose Bowl, you know, all the moments that I spent with my teammates in the locker room, training camp, 6 a.m. drills, just everything. You know what I mean? So, you know, just the brotherhood of it, and just a collective group of people trying to accomplish a goal. It was just awesome.
Juice Williams is one of the all-time greats at the program. Obviously, some big moments that year. Ohio State, of course, comes to mind. But he had an elite fastball. It seemed like he threw that all the time. What was it like to catch a Juice Williams fastball?
Juice would throw a fastball as soon as you come out your break. You got to get your head around, man. That's one thing. Juice was always going to put it on you. And but that was good. Benny's on the Big Ten, man. You know, I know as the years go on, the style of football always changes in a way. And, you know, we was playing big boy football, you know. So, you know, Juice, Minnesota Juice was like a running back playing quarterback. And, you know, the type of things that he was able to do, and Rashard, and so many guys that was in the offense. And, you know, it was a sight to see, man. I wish we could have had more time together.
Yeah. Yeah. How were practice battles with Vontae Davis at corner?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's something that evolved from high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, iron sharpening the iron. You know, him making me better, and I'm making him better. You know, it was a dogfight. It was something that wasn't talked about, but we just knew we competed against each other. We never talked about it, but it was always a dogfight in practice.
I don't think people remember too much about that next year, because I know it was disappointing going 5-7. But you and Juice put up such big numbers. I mean, the last 2 years, I know you guys didn't do what you wanted to, Regis, and you had some injury issues your junior year. But what are your big takeaways from those final 2 years you had before you entered the NFL?
It was kind of tough because, you know, I had lost Mike Locksley. He had went on to New Mexico. And, you know, we brought a different style of offense. And it was kind of hard because I wasn't being used the same way that I was before, and I wasn't used to kind of like being a decoy, you know what I mean? So my last year, I was kind of like a decoy in a way in our offense. I wasn't like, you know, getting the ball. So, and I was fixated on staying my next year, but I just couldn't, you know. And then Zook wasn't, I didn't know if he was going to be there. It was just so many pieces moving around and stuff. So we didn't get a chance to do some of the things that we, you know, had planned out to do, and I thought that we could have accomplished, but, you know, so many guys wanted to disperse different ways, man. But if we could have kept that team together, coaching staff, everything, for the at least another 3 more seasons, I think it would have definitely elevated the program.
So if that offense would have been better, you would have been back, you think, for a senior year? Like, even though you were you were a second round pick, man, like, you would have
absolutely back. I would have been back, because I had an opportunity to play with my brother.
Yeah.
But also, you know, have an opportunity to get closer to finishing my degree. And just, like, I wasn't in a rush, man. I was enjoying this, you know. But, you know, some things lead to others. And, you know, that year I was coming out was the last year of the CBA, the old CBA. So it was a lot of factors that played involved for me to just leave my junior year.
What is a jump like to the NFL for a junior in college? I mean, probably just 21, right? Like, how big of a – I mean, we always think about, oh, this is great, they're a second round pick, but you're just 21 entering that world. What's that like?
It's another culture shock. And when I say culture shock, just being the life of an athlete and knowing, you know, that it's just a business. It's a business outside of just the game. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's a lot of moving pieces as far as, you know, everybody is trying to get somewhere. Everybody is trying to, you know, have their own, you know, accomplishments. You know what I'm saying? It's a collective accomplishment within, you know, own guys' accomplishment. But it was pretty tough, you know, as far as the style of offense. That's one thing that I probably struggled with my rookie season, coming from a spread offense, not huddling up. So when I started to hear the verbiage my rookie year, it was kind of tough because some plays would be like a paragraph almost. And I had to, you know, always remember that. And, you know, I was a Z receiver, so, you know, I hadn't really know what's going on within the whole play, because I was a specific blocker. I wasn't a tag receiver, but it was a lot, you know what I mean? And it's always a big jump from, you know, college to the NFL for a receiver, based off the terminology, the verbiage, the speed of the game, you know, getting in and out of your breaks, how the quarterback throwing the ball, you know, timing. So, you know, those were some things that probably took me two to three seasons to really, like, get acclimated with and feel comfortable to play full speed.
I mean, obviously, you had some success in the NFL, Regis. You know, a couple good years with Tampa. And I know Josh Freeman was there, and that was kind of an up and down experience. But and then you get traded, and what is to go through stuff like that? You know, just even mentally, what was your experience like?
It was a lot. You know what I mean? It was a lot because I got hurt. I tore my ACL 1 year, then I come back the next season, tore my ACL again. And then the next following season after that, I shattered my collarbone, you know what I mean? So it was a lot of back to back to back. And I tell guys all the time who do ask me this question, you know, one of the things that I wish I probably would have focused on more was probably my mental health throughout the whole situation, because I put 110% into my body to hurry up and get back on the field. You know what I mean? That's what you're taught. And that's the nature of the business. But I wish I would have focused more so on like, all right, this is what it is, and I need to take these steps, and it's a process to getting back. But I kept fighting the injury bug over and over and over. And I think at some point my body got tired, mentally and physically, that I just was like, you know, all right, this is it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I did as much as I can. And, you know, having two ACLs and an LCL, fracturing my lower lumbar, I played the game fast. You know what I mean? I told myself, which made me sit well with the way that things went, is because I got hurt playing full speed. You know what I mean? I got hurt playing the game that I play the way that I play.
Do you think we're better with that now? Do you think teams are better? Do you think players are better with that now, of mental health?
Absolutely. I think it's, I mean, you know, back when I was in the NFL in 2010 coming in, that was something that wasn't talked about. It didn't go hand in hand with an athlete. You know, you couldn't mention those type of things. You had to be tough, mentally tough all the time, and that's what you had to show. And those things weren't talked about. But now I see it's been talked about even more and more, which is pretty awesome. And I hope it helps guys, you know, deal with injuries, knowing that, you know, it has to be split in between with your mental health and the physical aspect of it, you know?
I hate that it happened against the Bears, but to see that touchdown when you were in the Jaguars, that was pretty. What was that moment like after all those injuries you're talking about?
It was awesome, man. You know, it's crazy because I get back and I score that touchdown in, you know, Illinois, the place where I came to, you know, make my home and is my home, and, you know, to be at this prestigious university and everything. It was pretty awesome to come back after all the adversity that I went through. And did that here in Chicago. It was an awesome moment I'll never forget.
So what's it like for you? You know, I always think about this with college athletes too. I don't think we talk about it enough. Is when football's done, right? Mm-hmm. What was that process like for you? Was it relief? Was it nervousness? Like, how were you feeling when it was done?
It was a bit of mixed emotions. Yeah. You know what I mean? A part of me was, you know, like you said, like, you know, exhausted from the standpoint of like just having to always grind, having to come back, having to always battle it out and everything, not being in the position that I was before, because every time you get hurt, that's a huge setback. And in the league, that's like a year's worth of setback. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I have to put everything back on film and get back and everything. But I think that's something that, you know, it helps the guy, you know, evolve as a person as well. But all of the things that I went through has helped me in my life now, is to really be in the moment and really understand where I'm at, you know what I mean, as a person. And it's definitely helped me evolve, you know, took in everything that I've learned, you know, from a football aspect, which I tell guys all the time, if you're playing a professional sport, whether it's college, pros, or anything, the type of things that you go through to, you know, study hall, dieting, all those little things that you do to make yourself that much better are the same ways of things that you can do in your life to incorporate to make your life that much better in the real world outside of the sport and everything. But overall, it was a lot of mixed emotions, knowing, trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. You know, I mean, what was my purpose outside of football?
Yeah, and I can see the logo on your shirt, Local House Coffee.
Yeah, Social House.
Social House, sorry, yeah.
Social House.
Couldn't read about that, but Social House Coffee. That's your focus now. I mean, What have you gotten into? I know you and your wife are in business together. What's the deal that you guys are doing?
Well, you know, I'm big in the community, man. I'm big on serving leadership, you know, and that was a way for me to, you know, give back and to serve a community. And it's quite awesome because these are the same people I'm serving coffee to, are like Jaguar season ticket holders would come out and support us. So it's fun to be in the community and to do something like coffee that brings people together. And, you know, just really enjoying that, meeting different people. You know, as far as being an athlete and a professional athlete, you're kind of secluded and isolated in a way. But this was definitely good for me to, like, be face-to-face with people, meeting people, people not seeing me in my helmet, and people putting a face to the name and everything. So overall, it's really fun, man. It's just different ways that I could, you know, implement certain things and, you know, creating jobs and, you know, just helping people. And that's just what I'm here for, man. Just serving leadership for me.
So I'm guessing you own a coffee business. Are you big into, yes. When did you get into coffee? Like, when did you become like a coffee snob?
Man, every day, well, you know, I got addicted to coffee back when, well, my wife did. She's Dominican, and she introduced me to coffee and gave me a whole spill and, you know, learned it a bit. And I took a step further to self-educate myself. But I used to always drink coffee before a game. I used to do a double shot of espresso.
Really?
Before every game, yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Well, I was drinking Starbucks. This is when I didn't have the coffee shop. Yeah. So I would drink, like, the little small double shot cans of espresso.
Yeah.
And I do that before every game. But, you know, owning a business, man, and you know, doing that and just evolving from there is just it's quite, you know, fun to see.
Yeah. So I do want to ask you, college football has changed a lot, really, since you were in it. I think of a guy like you and NIL and what that could have meant. Obviously, D. Brown was on campus right before you got here, and you think of a guy like that. What do you think, like, NIL could have meant for a guy like you when you were here with the team that you were a part of?
I'm actually glad that it didn't happen. You know what I mean? I'm glad that we didn't have the NIL and all that type of stuff, because I don't know, man. You know, when money's involved, you know what I'm saying? A lot of things can go haywire, you know? So I just thank God that I was able to play the game and play it back then, back when, you know, this is what it was, college football, the BCS stuff and everything. I'm just happy. But the NIL, I think, you know, guys are going to be able to benefit from it now, you know, dealing with the likeness and all that stuff. And I think a big part of it has to deal with all the social media influences and all that type of stuff. Because back then, I think Twitter just came out when I was still playing. And everybody was still trying to figure out how to use it and everything. So, you know, and I'm quite of a, you know, introvert. So I'm not big into social media and all that type of stuff and likeness. I was a guy that just loved to play football and go home and play video games or something.
Who would have benefited the most? I can think of a guy off the top of my head that I talk to a lot, but I don't want to. Yeah. Who do you think on your team would have been nuts with that?
I think Juice would have.
Yeah.
I think Juice would have taken advantage of it. I think Vontae would have taken advantage of it. I think a lot of guys would have taken advantage of it. You know what I mean? But one thing that I would be concerned about is how that would take advantage of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not dealing with that type of stuff and really not knowing how is that supposed to go. And it's new. It's unfamiliar.
Yeah. I'm also happy that social media, like, we didn't have a bunch of, like, Facebook yet.
Yeah.
Like, our parents weren't on it when we were on it. That's a tough thing. I can't imagine.
It's tough.
You know, it's being tough, a young kid with all that stuff right now.
And I'm pretty sure it brings even more pressure on the player now. You know what I mean? Having to always showcase yourself, having to always be up to par and stuff. You know, at the end of the day, we're still kids as well, you know, but young professionals.
So you're back in Central Illinois now, Regis. Before we let you go, like, what do you think it's going to be like walking in that stadium, walking into a new football facility as well? I'm sure you're excited to see that. Like, what do you think your emotions are going to be?
Mixed emotions everywhere, and I'm going to embrace them. You know what I mean? And I'm going to enjoy the moment, and I just look forward to, you know, being there, being back around everything, and, you know, seeing if that we could pull off this win against Maryland, and, you know, just being thankful that I was able to, represent the Orange and Blue.
I'm sure it's a reflective kind of weekend for you. Like, What do you think the University of Illinois meant to you?
The University of Illinois meant a lot to me. It meant that transition point helped me evolve as a person, as a man for life after, you know, that short period of trying to be a professional. You know what I mean? It has definitely meant a lot. I have a lot of history here, and I have a lot of emotions here as well. You know what I mean? And it means a lot to me to even be here talking to you, Jeremy, and just seeing familiar faces and just being thankful that I was able to take on this journey.
Well, Regis, is there anything else you want to add, man? I can't thank you for your time, man.
Thank you. We got to do this again, and just, you know, go Illini, man, and you know, this is, like I said, a very special place. I'm glad to be here, and I appreciate this.
Regis, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Regis Benn. Can't thank him enough for his time. Thanks to Brian Bradke for setting that up as well. It's great to hear from guys like that, right? I mean, that's the kind of relationship you want. You want your greats. You want all your players coming back and having positive experiences and feeling like they are connected to the university. It was great to see, you know, the 20-year reunion of the 2001 team for that Nebraska game, and they picked the best game to come to have that here and have all those guys back, including Kirk Kittner, to have all those guys back was really nice to see. You know, a couple years ago, they had a 10-year reunion of the Rose Bowl team, and while I think the program did a good job, you know, Lovie Smith didn't show up for one of the events, and I thought that was, you know, some alumni took notice of that. And I think Brett Bielema being very involved, having guys come back, addressing those guys, and having the 2001 team involved with the team and addressing them beforehand, and having Ron Turner so involved, I think is very important to bridge that and have those guys part of your program. It just feels like more of a program where you're linking the present to the past, especially the successful past. And you know, even the stuff like the helmets, those guys notice. Those guys really know. Like Regis told me before that, like, we like that, we love that stuff. So I think that's really, really important. And Regis was so good. Just go look up some highlights if you're a youngin, or even if you saw it, just to remember. He was good. He was really, really good. So hope you enjoyed that. Can't thank Regis again enough for his time to join us here on the podcast for that. If you don't follow the podcast already, please do give us a rating and a review. That helps us out a lot. And check out Illini Inquirer for all the latest on going into the Maryland game for basketball recruiting. It's a huge weekend for them. Derek Piper's going to have that covered. I also had some thoughts on Illini football recruiting up on the site right now on the VIP side. And don't forget, if you don't have VIP membership, you can at any time for just $1 for your first month. So check out IlliniInquirer.com for that. Everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.